Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swing and a line drive back toward the middle, spinning into center field, a base hit. Harper's going around second, heading to third. Paez his throw. It's off the glove of Muncy, and it goes into the Dodgers dugout. Harper will score. Boehm will go to third, and the Phillies have taken the lead. It's 2-1.
Well, that was a really big moment. And I got to tell you, when Bryce was coming around second, I was cursing him in my mind. I was like, damn it, Bryce, you're going to freaking screw it up with the reckless base running. But he did put pressure on the defense, and it forced a throw with, you know, bang-bang and a collision-ish, and the ball scatters away. And it really set up two runs because, obviously, he got in, and then, of course, you know, Boehm got to third, and, you know, Marsh brought him in a couple of pitches later. So tremendous sequence that worked out well for the Phils. Well, fielding your phone call, we got Jason Kelce in studio here talking about Phils and Eagles. Want to hear from you on what went down last night, your anticipation for both games tonight, or all three, if you want to include the Flyers. Flyers home Flyers season opener tonight, home opener next week. 215-592-9494 to climb in on any of it. Rob Thompson's full press conference, it happened super late last night, covered a ton of ground. We'll air that for you at about 8:40 today. So 8:40 to hear Topper talking about everything from last night. A lot of good stuff. We'll get to that in about 20 minutes. Jason, Sirianni and Fangio have a decision to make. And what's I don't that? Know if it's tonight or the next game, but N'Kobe Dean's going to be back soon.
Yeah.
And he may play tonight. You know, we'll know a few hours before kickoff. If he's good to go, is he full-time starter, no-time starter, or part-time player where on certain possessions or plays they slide Jahad Campbell to edge? Like, what happens?
Yeah, I it's a great question that I don't fully know. They are a little bit thin right now at edge with some of the injuries they've had, so I wouldn't be surprised if they – I mean, Jahad's a versatile enough player that he can play on the line of scrimmage and in the box. But, I mean, Jahad Campbell has been fantastic.
He has.
And I don't think at this point you can sit him down for anybody, to be honest with you. I think he needs to play. I think Zach Bond is, like, one of the leaders of that defense. He needs to play. So it's one of those, like, you know, they're – they have so many good players that it's hard to know, you know, where N'Kobe fits in. But Vic is very versatile in his personnel packages, and they can be in, you know, five big guys, two inside backers. They can play with three inside backers, one guy in the line. They can play in nickels and dimes. And so I'd imagine they'll find a place to utilize N'Kobe's skill set, especially depending on what other offenses are throwing at
him. What did you think of Aziz Ojulari? I thought I had to look up who he was when I saw 13 in there. I didn't remember
who
was 13.
I didn't either.
Because he hadn't played, you know, beginning of the year. He looked good.
No, he's a solid player in this league. I mean, he has been, and I've played against him a number of times. He's a good player. He's versatile. And, you know, with Fangio's scheme, and this is where N'Kobe could fit in, and why Jahad Campbell is such an asset, and guys like Ojulari and Uche, and, like, they – these, like, quasi linebacker big guys, you can be so versatile where they go, and they can put their hand on the ground. They can be anything from a nine technique to a five to a four eye in some fronts, depending on the down and distance. And, you know, you can mug guys up and get to it. It makes you so much more dynamic and shifting in similar ways to, you know, what Bill Belichick and a lot of these other 3-4 teams utilize.
Bill used to do that all the time.
And it's annoying.
And he would make his linebackers 95s.
Yep.
The defensive ends in the 50s, you know, like mess with the numbers. Yeah,
and now you can mess with them even more.
Size.
The numbers are all
you're
crazy.
Not, dude, I hate that, by the way.
I'm not a fan of it either. But, yeah. I think.
And then the interchangeability. Yeah. Little things like whether your hand's down or whether you're in a 3-point or a 2-point, sometimes that really does change
things. It messes
things with
your head, especially
it changes your decision-making and everyone's communication
up
front.
Yeah, then the guard looks back and what was 2-3 techniques and two inside backers, while the guard looks back, all of a sudden the three technique, because he's standing up and he's we're calling him down for this week, right? He's a big guy. We're not going to let the back block him.
Rules
all of a sudden
week.
They switch mid-snap before, while the guards look back. Then he looks back, and then you got a big guy running down on Saquon. And you can mess with rules and schemes and – you know, what fronts are, especially if you're not dialed in offensively.
Yeah. Sure. So Eagles and Giants tonight, Flyers season opener this evening, and most important of all, and that's a rare thing to say on an Eagles game day, but most important of all, the Phillies tonight. So we got three different Twitter poll questions all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First question, who wins tonight, Phillies or Dodgers? Second poll question, will the Flyers make the playoffs as they embark on a new season beginning tonight? Playoffs, yes. I do too, Jason. I think no. I hope yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're young. They're still getting there. But, I mean, I just – the Flyers, it's so much fun when the Flyers are really good.
It is.
It's a great organization. It's a great fan base when everything is going well. I love going to the games. So, yeah, I'm definitely hoping for
big time
some good hockey here.
And the third poll question, you know, we hope Bader –
do you still feel like checking people? When you're like walking around, do you ever get that?
We talked about it this week, but I went to Jacksonville this week, and we were watching the games at like a random sports bar, and the sports bar just so happened to be, we didn't know it going to it, in the middle of an ice rink, which I'd never seen.
Wow.
And there's beer league games going on all day, all Sunday. So I legitimately went to the pro shop. I rented skates, bought some stuff, and just hopped out on the ice. It was miserable. The skates were dull. Like, I was not skating well at all. But I love ice skating. I love being back out. I just love being in a rink. Like,
did you
the smell
anybody?
Of a rink. The one thing I didn't buy
like
is shoulder pads
because
I didn't even want to put myself. I'm like, dude, I'm not hitting anybody. I don't want to get hit. Uh-huh. I almost went face first into the boards.
Did they know who you were?
That'd be bad.
They did. That's
they
the
did?
Only reason I think they let me out with them.
Okay, yeah. That's great. All right. Jason, I want the Flyers to sign you for the Tim Kerr, John LeClair role. Stand in front of the net and no one can move you. And, you know, Ben, you grew up with
it
that
works.
Stuff. They would just stand in front of the net.
Yeah,
nobody could move them. Screen the goalie and tip it in.
That's that was all there was to it.
It's unbelievable.
Not rocket science.
Yeah. All right, the third poll question. Rod Thompson's got a big decision to make tonight. So, I mean, let me put it this way. If Bader's healthy, he starts, but he's probably not going to start because he's probably not healthy. So if he doesn't start, who gets to start tonight along with Marsh and Kepler in the outfield? Your choices are Castellanos, Kemp, Sosa, and Wilson. I would go with Castellanos, but I say that holding my nose, like literally holding my nose, because I don't feel good about it. But that's a decision they got to make. Now, James has some info in there for us because I asked him to look it up. If you're down 2-1 in a series in a best of five, what does history show? Baseball's had a lot of best of fives through many decades, not just in this most recent playoff format, but years gone by used to be best of fives. James, what are we looking at when your club's down 2-1?
Yeah, better than when they were down 0-2. I'll tell you much. The odds have gotten better, guys.
Yeah,
And I actually have the difference. It actually, unsurprisingly, teams that are down 1-2 and win game 4 on the road have a higher percentage of winning game 5 because they're coming home. So we're just going to look at that specific scenario because that's what the Phillies are in. So teams that are down 1-2 on the road that win game 4, so they win game 4 33% of the time.
Okay, so they so this team
so
wins.
One out of three. So not as bad as you would think. And
and that's about what I'd think. Is you have about a 50-50 shot in baseball, but a lesser shot because you're on the road.
Yep.
And the other team theoretically might have been proven to be
the
better.
Teams, it's 33% for the road. It's 23.5% if it's the home team that wins game 4 and then has to go on the road for game 5. Yeah. Overall, 52 the game 5 though is a coin flip still. 52% of the time, the team that came back from 1-2 down goes on to win the series.
Can I ask you?
After winning the second, yes.
How many times has a team won both the first games away, then the other team won both of the other games?
I don't have that in. It's a great question.
Like that's
very
rare. Super rare.
Well, we know that in 90 times that there was an 0-2 hole for any team in MLB history in the playoffs, that only 10 of those teams won. And we don't know the split on road versus home, but Jason, I would guess, you know.
It might be the first time.
In baseball, maybe. Listen, the Sixers lost the series that way in 84. Sixers won the title in 83. Had Doc, Moses, the whole crew. lose. And Ben, you were super young. Ree, you'll remember this also as a
kid.
Was
that the one where they...
To the Nets.
Oh, to the Nets. I was thinking the one to Portland.
Oh, well, that was 77. That was the Sixers 1-2 and then lost four straight.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, if you lose two at home, and then to your point, Jason, then win two on the road, that is a rare one. Right. I don't know how often, but I know this. Not much.
Right, right.
Does not happen much. John, who do you want tonight to get that start in the outfield if it's not Bader? Casty, Kemp, Sosa, or Wilson?
I don't want it to be Casty. So, I mean...
He stunk last night.
If it's... I guess it's Weston Wilson, but because I want Sosa to be available, I don't know, in a different capacity. I'd like to see Sosa tonight also. Let's get everyone in there we can. But Weston Wilson.
I wonder if they move Stott up to just put whoever this guy is nine.
Real quick, I found the answer to Jason's question. Three out of ten. Three out of the ten series that were won were teams that went. Yeah, so 30% of them were 0-2 at home and went on to win the series.
Wow.
So that's, but for what it's worth, that's 3 out of 90 times.
Right? Yeah.
Or, you know, in
holy
general.
Mackerel. All right, a couple minutes with Jason here. We're going to get to the Rob Thompson press conference from very late last night. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. Let's go to Ron in Pottstown right now. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, boys and ladies. Oh, man, I'm so excited about the Phillies. I listened Tuesday night from Jan Janssen all the way through as I put it around the house, and boy, I felt so bad for Aaron Nola and Topper. Boy, they just got hammered. And I was so glad it worked out. Jason, I was an undersized college center, lacking all abilities. So I've spent my time on special teams, and I'm battling CTE right now. I drive my adult daughter crazy. I'm on 16 pills a day. And is Ben still there?
Yes.
If he is... I was a high school and Legion catcher. I tell Dorian, you know, if I could hump it up at 103, I'd throw one against the screen once in a while because he's always around the plate.
Yeah.
And I think he needs sometimes to, you know, maybe make those hitters feel.
But Ben said that exact thing on our show recently.
I did. I know this. It sounds funny, but I think he needs to throw more balls. He's always around the plate.
Well, and there's two things I think, Ben, I've heard you say about him on the negative side that hopefully he can improve. That. Throw more balls, especially when you're like, got the guy down.
Yeah, bury a pitch or two.
And the other thing is to vary up his off-speed pitch more. One thing that was so good about Ranger last night, I mean, maybe it was the best part of Ranger. His variance between his fastball and his, I'll call it, not fastball. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
He can add and subtract with the best of them. He was throwing a 72-mile-an-hour curveball and a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, from a hitter, and he can throw it in any count. That's what's so frustrating. From an offensive standpoint, you can never sit on one particular pitch or one particular speed. And I think that's why hitting Duran's a little bit, not easy hitting 102, but everything he throws is hard, except for that curveball, that knuckle curve. That's why I think he needs to throw that more.
I think he also, and I hate to say this on the negative side for us as Phillies fans, but it's worth pointing out, I think he made himself some dough last night. It's going to make it even harder to sign them. I mean, if I'm a team, think of it this way. If I'm a team that makes the playoffs year over year, teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers, whomever. Now, the Dodgers have tons of pitching. But, like, why wouldn't you want that guy on your team if you're likely to make the playoffs? He's got the third lowest ERA in the history of postseason baseball.
Yeah.
He's a freaking stud.
He's a stud, but he's just staying on the field every fifth day.
I know.
It's not easy for him.
Yeah, it certainly has been
an issue.
That's
the only knock on him.
Back is not something that
instantly
gets better.
That's scary.
It's wonky, and then it stays wonky.
Let's listen to Bryce Harper. So after the game last night, Bryce, I thought this was good perspective on kind of where things are and just the overall vibe of what's going on. Here's Bryce last night.
You talked about one pitch at a time everybody has coming in today. Is that easier now tomorrow that you have this behind you?
No. I mean, it's still a really good team over there. I think, obviously, we got to, work out. We just got to come in here and do our job and understand we're a really good team as well and just try to go 1-0 again tomorrow. I think I said it the other day, 1-3, not worrying about anything else and got to come in tomorrow and, win that game and, get back to Philly.
Jason, the reason I really appreciate that perspective is that's the athlete saying, let's not take anything for granted. We won a game. It doesn't mean we win the next one. Like, we got to stay locked in.
Yeah. You're not letting the moment get you out of what you should be focused on, which is the fact.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That we got to go right back and do it again, and quite literally the next day. So, yeah, I think that's the exact mindset you want
to
hear.
James, give us a – or actually, let me go to Ben here on this. Ben, give me a Tyler Glasnow. So he's the going to be the starting pitcher tonight. It's funny. I thought earlier in the show it was Ohtani, so shame on me for having that wrong. So Glasnow, who we saw in game one, and is a good pitcher, but not on the level of the other three guys that have gone in this series for L.A. What is he?
I think if adversity makes him soft, and I think that can very go well in the Phillies' favor. He's got a great arm, but he's another guy that has a tough time staying on the field. But he's close to triple digits, if not triple digits, at the top of the zone with his fastball and loves to bury his breaking ball. So if they can get his fastball down and his breaking ball up, obviously easier said than done, they can get to him. Sounds and like they can get him out.
You got to get a bun in there.
Yeah.
Get some adversity.
There you go.
That's right.
I see what you did.
Adversity makes him soft.
This guy, he doesn't – Doc had to go get him in the first game. Dave Roberts had to go get him in the first game. He brought him in, and he was supposed to be – and then next you know, he's got a couple guys on.
There
was
a game, batters, right?
Yeah, there was a game here earlier in the year where it was kind of raining and spikes went right. He was stomping around the mound like a little child.
That was the guy. That he gave up five runs.
Five earned they put up on him in
correct.
April.
Correct.
I forgot about
right.
that.
I love this.
What's
yeah.
the best?
This
what's the guy. Best way to get into a pitcher's head?
I think if they put up two runs in that first inning,
that's the best way.
I'm telling you,
or a bomb.
Yeah. Bomb. I think I'm telling you, you can get to this guy. I don't know how. I think he can be gotten to. Let's put it that way.
That's good. Exciting.
No doubt.
Let me ask this question. Let's just kind of, I'm trying to sort of move a little bit toward game four. So we're certainly fielding your calls on game three, obviously. But let's just play out a horrible scenario. If Sanchez were to struggle hard and get hit often and be out of there after two or three, other than cleaning up a dirty inning where you got to get out of the inning, guys on base, who's that next guy? My guess is Walker Buehler.
I think it has to be.
Yeah, I don't know who else it would be.
Right, it's him.
If you need bulk,
because you've used Taiwan a little bit last night. If you need bulk, if you need three innings, if you need to get me three through five, it's Walker Buehler time.
I would think so.
Could Nola, as a guy who has started all year, cranked it up for two innings last night? Could he pitch tonight, Ben?
No. Okay. The starters aren't accustomed to doing that.
But you feel Nola? Do you feel Nola could go in game five? Or, and I'm not saying as a starter. Could Nola give you an inning or two in game five? We know Ranger could.
100%.
So game five, you could have both Ranger and Nola out of the...
Yes.
And then it's the bullpen
available.
Thing.
It's,
like, do you pitch Nola out of the bullpen?
Game
he didn't want to do it.
With an off day on Friday, it's all hands on deck.
Yep. And I mean effectively, though. Like,
No, he could.
Okay, good.
He could.
Let's get to Gino, Northeast Philly. Good morning, Gino.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning? Good morning, Jason.
Doing good.
Fire it up, bud.
It's always good to talk to Jason. It's so cool to call here because, like, you know, Jason, you're probably one of my favorite players of all time, and I get to call on Mondays to talk to Seth, and Seth's my dad's favorite player of all time, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But as far as the Phillies go, you know, I feel like Michael Corleone. It's like, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in, you know. And,
it's a good one, man.
You know, honestly, I said to Jimmy when I called, I said, you know, honestly, and I hate to say this, but I fully expected to turn that game on last night. And after about three, four innings, the Phillies would, Nola would get bombed and they'd be down 5-0, and I turned the game off and go to bed. You know, and I hate to say that, but that's what I expected.
And by the way,
happen,
Gino,
you know?
It felt like it was about to happen.
Yeah, it felt like they were wasting opportunities early in the game. There was a lot of opportunities to get runs in early.
Yeah. First inning, like there was a Phillies reliever up in the first inning. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right.
But he got out of it. He found a way.
I saw Banks up in the first inning. I'm like, this is not a good start right here.
You know? But you know what?
I was proud of the team last night. They really battled. And you know, they didn't just go out with a whimper. So, you know, they showed me a little something. And one thing I will say, you know, the Dodgers are obviously a great team. And obviously, you know, anything can happen in a game five. But there's no way in hell you can tell me the Dodgers want to get on a plane and go back to Philly for a game five.
I agree.
There's, right.
The wins no will be at their back for
even,
sure.
Even with Ohtani on the mound.
There's also the effect that it would cost Ohtani not being able to pitch early in the next series. So
exactly.
you're damn right they're going to want to win tonight. But, Gino, I will say this. In their credit, I also don't think, though, that they would be fearful of playing in that game. Like, they don't want but they're more wired to do that than a lot of teams, man. They've won a lot of big games, and they've won a lot of them over the road in the last decade in the playoffs.
I just wanted to ask one other question. I wanted to ask Ben this, actually.
Sure.
You know, obviously, what Castellanos said, he shouldn't have said that about the fans and all.
No.
But you think there is a little something to that, that getting on the road helped the team? Like, you know, maybe they're just pressing way too much at home?
Good question, Gino.
That's a good question. I would say that it does maybe help them relax a little bit. I think maybe playing in front of this crowd, these are the best fans in baseball. But I think maybe they're trying to impress them and maybe a little bit too much. And a tight swing is not what you need in the playoffs. Trying to impress the home crowd and keep them into it. And I think, again, the pitchers that they went up against, Ohtani and Snell, they can induce that kind of feeling. It's like, the last thing you can do in football baseball is I have to or I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
You can't go up there and say, I have to get a hit or I need to get a hit.
Yeah,
that's
sure
the worst mentality to have.
Yep. No.
You know, and I can understand them wanting to impress this home crowd because they have been so supportive over the years, especially this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that. And maybe getting out on the West Coast will get their minds right. You know, they definitely looked right last night.
Yeah. I used to worry all the time that it was, for Donovan's sake,
I agree
that
with
it was much more difficult to, bounce back from mistakes if we were at home. I felt like from the get-go, from the very first game we played at the new Lincoln Financial Field. You got the fireworks, the smoke is still in the air from the fireworks for the grand opening, and Don's getting booed. You suck! Because we went like four and out.
Yeah.
I was positive there were times it was easier to get back on track when you didn't have the prying and, angry eyes on the quarterback. That was the impression that I got. I felt like it must have been easier for him.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
it does. So, Jason, let's get you out on this one.
Yeah.
The Eagles tonight. We all think they're going to win.
They will.
Do you think they're going to win convincingly?
I do. I don't think that their offense is going to do much of anything, to be honest with
the
you.
The Giants.
Yes.
Good.
Even though Jackson Dart looked better than I expected.
I love the kid's competitiveness.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago was really...
Oh, 2 weeks.
Yeah, against the Chargers, which was a big win for them. I think he has a ton of competitive juices to him. I like that aspect of it. Him and Sabato, or however you pronounce the running back,
Scadaboo.
Scadaboo, thank you. Scadaboo. Yeah. They have a ton of just like energy right now. Andy Reid used to call it youthful enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you need on a football team. It really does. And it lit a spark under them a couple weeks ago. I don't think he's there right now. And I think with Slayton being out and Neighbors being out, it's going to be very difficult against Vic without any real playmakers out on the perimeter to be one-dimensional. I would be beyond shocked if they have an offensive performance that's impressive.
Good. Enjoy it all tonight, man. When I say all, I mean all these games. And thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, what a day in Philly sports, man.
Oh, yeah. This could be a very joyous night tonight. And hopefully it is for all of Philadelphia.
I love it.
All right,
he is, the future Hall of Famer, Jason Kelce, as he's with us every single Thursday.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.